All right, and we are recording, and bing, bong, bing.
Welcome to the Coffee Caboose Radio Hour, coming live to you from the original Washington, the heart of the Inner Banks. I'm Mary Ann, and with me are Jennifer, Don, and John as co-host. We've got an exciting show for you today. First thing, though, we've got to thank everybody for their prayers for our Jennifer. She was feeling mighty ill a few weeks back, but thank God she's back on the road to recovery. Good thing, because I was going nuts running the caboose. Okay, John, why don't you get us going?
Okay, thank you, Mary Ann. All right, so we're going to start with a song, as we usually do here, and I'll tell you a little bit about this group. So a few years ago, my beautiful wife Nancy and I were in Nova Scotia in a little town called Shelburne. Anybody ever heard of Shelburne before? Okay, it could be a twin for Washington, right? The last night we were there, we went into a restaurant, okay? We started talking to the owner of the restaurant, and we found that she and this other guy had a small group called Naming the Twins, and that in the wintertime, sometimes they would come down and do tours of the U.S., okay? You know, just to get out of the cold in Nova Scotia, which is a pretty smart thing to do. They've been here, what, Nancy, at least twice, right? Twice or three times? Twice, okay, and we're hoping that, you know, whenever they do another tour, they'll do it. So they're all, it's kind of folk music. Without further ado, we're going to play one of their really nice things, Skippers and Mates. Guys, this is a sing-along. All you sailors are going to love this one right here. Here we go.
Are simple men.
Skippers and mates and deckhands. Get it? Not hard. The rest of you can join in.
Skippers and mates and deckhands.
We place no stock in rank nor name.
Skippers and mates and deckhands.
To the rolling seas, you're all the same.
Skippers and mates and deckhands.
All ye hail and hearty sailors. Hoist the sails once more. There's plenty of food for the men that work,
skippers and mates and deckhands,
and moldy bread for those that shirk,
skippers and mates and deckhands.
Now coins are scarce, I'm sure you know,
skippers and mates and deckhands.
So sign aboard and get below,
skippers and mates and deckhands.
Leave behind all your sons and daughters, set the course for foreign waters, sail me hearty. Goodbye to your wives and lovers. Cut the ropes and clear the scuppers. Sail, me hearties, sail. There'll be no joking with your friends.
Skippers and mates and deckhands.
There's decks to wash and sails to mend.
Skippers and mates and deckhands.
You'll get no rest around the horn.
Skippers and mates and deckhands.
You'll wish by gum you'd never been born.
Skippers and mates and deckhands.
Leave behind all your sons and daughters. Set the course for foreign waters. Sail, me hearties, sail. Wave goodbye to your wives and lovers. Cut the ropes and clear the scuppers. Sail, me hearties, sail. Skippers and mates and deckhands. Skippers and mates and deckhands. Call from the briny foam.
Skippers and mates and deckhands.
All ye rugged salty
Steve would love this one.
I think he would love it.
Yeah.
You think they came to Washington?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. They played, at the not at the Turnage, but in the front of the Turnage.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, like the music in the
city. Yeah. The stairs. Okay.
Very nice choice.
All right. I mean, that just puts me right in a sailing mood there. So anyway. Okay. Jen?
One of the best things about the caboose are the friends who join us, some each day and some less often. So I'll introduce you to our skipper and mates and deckhand. I will start with Larry Lang. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning.
Hey, Larry.
And Laurel, I don't know your last name.
Oh, McKenzie.
Laurel McKenzie. And of course, Claudia, my hero. Oh. And Don. Robert and Jen, regulars. Hey, Rebecca, good to see you. And then we have Kathy. And behind me, I have Al and Tom Tanzi. Barbara Tanzi, whom we will interview for a job soon. Of course, Mary Ann, Dave Clark, John's wife, Nancy, and our new barista, Savannah. Welcome, everyone.
Good, okay. Excellent. Hey, we should like clap or something.
Yay,
okay, cool. Okay.
But you knew everybody's name.
Okay, yeah. So we've been looking for some help here at the caboose. We've got Barbara Tanzi here for an interview. Dawn, you want to do the questions?
We can do them together, because okay. I'm going to edit a couple of them myself, I already feel. But just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm married to Tom. That's the primary thing in life.
That's what everyone endears you to us. Because of Tom, so keep bringing them. But go ahead.
And in my off hours, I go out to the college and work.
When you say go out to the college and work, exactly what are you doing out there?
Management by wandering around.
Okay, MBWA, right, exactly.
I actually think you need to be a little more specific.
Well, some might see me as the president, others not so much.
Okay, that was like pulling teeth.
Okay, what qualities do you feel a successful barista should have?
Well, obviously, by looking at the new barista, you have to be beautiful, so I'm wondering why I'm here. And young.
Wrong, wrong, wrong.
You have to have lots of energy, and you have to like an eclectic group of people. And you need to know a little bit of something about coffee, but mostly you just run it out.
Yeah, that's right.
That's all they do.
That's it. How has your education prepared you for a career here at the Coffee Caboose?
Well, I don't think my doctor is going to help much. But I do have a home ec degree.
Ah, there
all
we
right.
go.
Okay, cool. Oh,
yeah. That'll be perfect.
So was there a class in espresso making at that in home ec?
Not that I remember.
No, okay.
She would be our baker.
Okay, cool.
Absolutely. Every holiday and every birthday. This is the one that, how would you deal with angry customers, which I think we should have a write-in when people could ask Marianne or Jennifer questions about dealing with, and someone in retail, like, how do you deal with this situation? Because I've seen it happen in here, and you girls pretty much handle it well. But what would
pretty
you
much.
Do?
Pretty much.
Well, sometimes you've yelled at me.
Listen up, Savannah. This is important.
So what would you do, Barbara?
Oh, I would ask them what was wrong and try to listen carefully to see if it's something I can fix. And if I can fix it, I'll fix it. But if I can't, I'll just give them a hop roll instead.
Okay.
They could go to a diversity class or something.
That's right.
There you go.
And I could put them on a performance plan. But, there you, you know, go. That's
right,
kind
right.
of over the top.
Exactly. Right, right. Call HR.
That's right.
Okay, why do you want to leave your current company?
Just look at the newspaper today.
That's right. I'm looking for a low-stress job.
You think this is a low-stress job? You might keep looking.
Okay. I have a question that's not on here. If there was a suggestion box, what would you put in it? Number one. And number two, how would you handle it?
Boy, that's a double-barreled question.
I know, right?
Wow.
What about
wow.
this one for
okay.
her?
Well, I think I made the suggestion yesterday. We're going to start looking at garage sales or some handy person to make one long big table for the group. No,
oh.
no benches. Just have to have individual seats, but like one big table up here for the group when they come in. And how would I
think
handle
you just,
it?
Yeah, I think you did it both.
Yeah,
I like that idea.
We're looking for a carpenter or a nice garage sale.
There you go. Perfect. I'll do the garage sale.
You can get it welded. Ted can weld it up.
Get it off the floor.
It'd be stainless steel. That's right. That's right. Jennifer. Yeah, we took the welding class. Right. Okay.
All right.
We have our own welders. Great. We have our own welders.
Yeah.
We'll work on it.
Okay.
Oh, that's a nice idea, though.
That's our project for the fall class, then.
Oh, perfect.
Okay, if I was to ask your boss or spouse to describe you, what would they say?
Well, I have 12 bosses, the board of trustees. They would just say I handle problems, and I don't call them very often. Now, if you ask Tom, you're going to get a different story.
What story might that be?
He thinks I come home grouchy and take it out on him.
Isn't that our job?
Yeah. That's right. It is our job.
What is your greatest weakness?
I'm too trusting.
Okay.
Am I going to jail for that?
No. Have you been stabbed in the back lately? Or?
Occasionally.
Occasionally, right? You got the wounds to show it, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sounds like this morning, right?
Okay.
Let's go to the opposite direction. Tell me about the accomplishments you're most proud of.
Mary and Tom, you know how long it took to catch him?
No, I've heard.
All right, that's sweet. Right.
Took 3 years of chasing.
3 years? Right. Who proposed?
He did. Going down the highway, I'm driving, it's dark at night, and he goes, do you think we ought to get married?
So no down on the knee with a ring, huh?
No ring, no roses, no kisses. I was just trying not to run over the possums in the road.
How did you react when he did that? I mean, you're driving down the road, that could be scary, right? Looking out for possums, right? And you get a marriage proposal.
I just kind of befuddled, and finally I say, well, yeah, I guess so.
Okay, all right. So there was a consensus among the decision makers.
What's the last book you read for fun?
Oh, my gosh.
You're a big reader, right?
Not for fun.
Okay, so not for fun.
Not for fun.
It can't be a cookbook. I bet you're...
I read cookbooks, yes.
If you had to live your life ever again, what one thing would you change?
Mary and Tom.
No.
Sorry, Tom.
She would have.
Did you hear me? I'm sorry.
She would have hit that possum.
Going to work for a private company.
There you go.
You would have gone to work for.
No, I did.
You
I
did.
Wouldn't have done.
Oh, you
that.
Wouldn't. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Wouldn't
cool.
have done that.
Yeah.
Well, that concludes that.
Wow, what do you
so
think about this candidate
do?
Here?
Is she on the list?
Oh, absolutely.
She is? Good.
Definitely for the banker.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Absolutely, yeah, here we go.
So when he proposed, what kind of car were you driving?
It was probably a Blazer, but I'm not sure.
So that tells the life of a blazing phone.
There you go.
Was it fuel injected?
I have no idea. No clue.
Okay. All right, are we ready to move on?
Body, sure.
All right, so we have a new co-host here, Miss Dawn.
Oh, yes.
Right. It only took me crying and begging and gifting, and then Marianne said, if you give me a lot of cash, I'll let you sit in. So.
Yeah, okay.
Thanks, Marianne.
You're welcome, Dawn.
Okay. All right, so Dawn and I are both Seinfeld fans, and Dawn is going to try to stump this chump right here.
Okay, and this I made it appropriate. It all deals with coffee.
Oh, God.
Okay.
With what?
Coffee.
Coffee? What's coffee? I don't know what coffee is.
I believe that's how Jerry says it.
It's like chocolate.
I don't. They all got caffeine in them. Okay, in over 100 shows, they are in, and this is said on the trivia in a coffee shop.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Monks, right? Was that the question? I'm sorry.
Nobody knows that. Nobody. I'm going to give you a minute. I said, that's the hardest question. I was going to give you three.
Oh, okay. All right.
So I'm just.
Are you done? Is that it?
That's one. I got three.
Okay. All right. Well, number two. All right.
And I made one easy because I was going to stump you on these other two.
Okay.
All right, here's one for you. Kramer. Let me read it the right way, though. Kramer.
Cosmo. No. That's just, everyone knows that's his first name, right?
Is anything their coffee? No.
No, no.
No.
They both start with C.
Kramer dated a coffee shop cashier.
Oh, God.
Because she was good at what?
Food. Okay.
And this is no 1, 2, 3. No ABC.
No, you, yeah, no, no multiple choice on this one. You got to give me multiple choice.
No.
No.
Because I would go.
Does
so,
anybody know on this
I would
one?
Go so I was 30
he,
in.
Was he scratching his back?
Hello.
What? Alright, guys, two.
She had super long fingernails.
Okay. Yeah, okay, had, I remember that one.
He had
yeah,
an but itch he couldn't reach.
Right.
So after three dates, his okay, itch went away, okay, and he got rid of her. So what did he use as a substitute? Come on, Larry.
Oh.
And there's a scene oh, with, good, with good. Cosmo it, in a car.
Was it
with
something from Jerry's Kitchen?
No. A mannequin.
Okay.
There's a hilarious picture cut with Kramer's in a car with a mannequin with real long red.
Yes, yes.
And
at the very end. Is it the very end? Right, 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 right.
Okay.
Right, right.
All right.
Okay.
The last one is, okay, this is a great one, which I know you'll know this one. George, wait, why was a coffee table book that George was forced to buy flagged for no returns.
Oh, that's an easy one.
I know.
Okay.
I gave you one easy. I didn't
thank
know you'd
you
get
okay,
the
because he
two,
took it into the men's room, right?
Right, right. Okay, right.
I thought you were going to go after the coffee table book that Kramer came up with. Do you remember that one?
That it actually was a coffee table.
It actually had it, you know?
So
and he went on Regis and what
I
was
know,
it? Regis and Kathy.
That was
and
so funny.
That's right. And he spilled the coffee on it, too, right?
That's right.
So, okay, good.
That
all right, here
okay,
we go.
That's all.
So we did pretty good. I had a couple of jumps here, man. All right, all right. Woo, okay.
I know. I pick another topic. I say pick a topic. Give me a month.
What? Okay.
Give me a month, and I'll come up with a topic, and I'm going to make it really hard for you.
Okay. Okay. Here, I'll throw one out at you. This, I don't want to make it too easy, but what something about this fictional character appeared in every Seinfeld? Either a picture or a statue or
oh
something about it in every single Seinfeld. And it was and Jerry something. It was this Jerry's hero.
Give us a hint.
Yeah,
he's a DC Comics.
Superman,
exactly, Claudia.
Really?
All right.
Woo!
Okay,
In every single one.
Yeah, if you look at them all, like there's some might be on the refrigerator, there might be a little kitchen magnet of Superman.
Do they ever talk about it? Is it
no, no. It's like it's this hidden thing right there, right?
A couple of episodes, Jerry, that was saying Superman is my hero.
Is his hero, yeah. But it's mostly
so,
just sort of behind
what
the scenes.
What I want to know is how do you happen to know this particular
okay,
fact?
Well, because what I do is, you know, I travel a lot, all right? And I get into the hotel, right? I turn the TV on while I'm doing something else, reading or something like that. And I usually turn TBS on. And guess what? Like from 6 to 8, it's always Seinfeld, right? So after a while, osmosis kicks in. That's about it. Cool. All right. Well, with that, shall we go to the news?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Right. Okay. Here's the news of the day. All right. So let's start off with, and in fact, there's a nice transition here, is today, if you know, is International Women's Day.
Yes.
All right. Woo! Okay. All right. And there's a nice article today in the paper about five women artists. Did you see that one? Okay. So do you remember the Inner Banks Artisan Center, right?
Yes.
You know, a lot of artisans down there. Well, five, after it closed, you know, five women got together, okay, and we've got the names Sue Beck, Jan Lamoureux, Carol Mann, we know Carol, Jerry Bradley, and Doris Schneider. Does anybody know those folks?
Right? I know Jerry.
You know Jerry? Okay. All right, and what they did was they decided they wanted to keep their art going, so they've started, what is it called? It's called Lemonade? Yeah, Lemonade. Yeah,
oh,
Lemonade Gallery downtown, right?
Yeah, yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
life gives you lemons.
Right. So I'll just read a little bit about it. So a year ago, they weren't businesswomen. They came from disparate backgrounds, united by a passion for their art. And that's one thing this community seems to have a lot of, you know, is a passion for arts here. Okay. They call themselves the Lemons for their venture, the Lemonade Art Gallery and Gifts, an adventure that started when their previous studio gallery space in the Inner Banks Arts and Center was closed in 2014, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, good place to go down, okay, celebrate International Women's Day, right? So that's our women's news. Right? There's a couple of state news articles here. Did you hear that they've likely found a Confederate shipwreck?
No.
Nope?
Where?
Okay, so marine archaeologists in North Carolina say they think they found the wreck of a Confederate ship, a blockade runner, near the mouth of the Cape Fear River, okay? And what I heard about it was that, you know, the under part of the hull, okay, is pretty much intact. You know, the top works and things like that have been, you know, long gone, but they should be able to get down there and you know, study the wreck and things, okay? Now, have you ever heard of rickrolling?
No.
I'd never heard of that before. Okay, so this happened in Asheville. Motorists in North Carolina who tried scanning fake parking tickets ended getting rickrolled, okay? And I could see myself doing this, all right? So what happens is you've got a fake ticket on your windshield, right? Okay. You've got a code that you can scan with a smartphone, you know, those new codes, the QR codes and things, okay? And what it did was when you scan that little code, it pulled up Ricky Ashley's Never Gonna Give You Up. Okay. Can you hear that? I mean, hear in your head?
You gotta give us more.
Oh, come on. I mean, that's like, no.
Sing it.
Never gonna give you up, never gonna let you down, right? Okay. And that's all I'm gonna sing of that one right there. I mean, so that's okay. Well, I'm looking at like blank faces out here on this one right here.
You heard that one?
Okay.
They're not the video generation.
No, I guess not right there.
Look at the age group.
All right, let's see. What do we got for today? Okay. Again, we have the Human Relations Council meets. Seems like they meet every time we have a radio show right here. So if you need any human relations, head down to the municipal building. No. Okay. There's a blood drive out at the Beaufort County Community College today from 8:30 to 3:30. Right. Okay. You gonna give blood, Barbara?
Of course.
Absolutely. Okay. Let's see. We have the usual. We have mahjong for seniors, aerobics for seniors, painting for seniors, and a chair exercise class. The Ahoy chair exercise class. Okay.
What are you taking, Marianne?
I'm going to go ride the bicycle there for an hour today.
Okay, excellent. All right, let's see. I think there was one. Oh, yeah. For any of inspiring or aspiring actors, okay, there's a film acting workshop at the Turnage on March 22nd. Okay.
Really?
Yeah, so if you're interested and if you're considered being into movies, Arts of the Pamlico will be offering a film acting workshop on Tuesday, March 22nd. Okay, let's see. 2-hour workshop from 6 to 8. Offer information on how to get started in film acting. Wow. So, okay.
There you go, Don.
All right. Cool. Okay.
I hear you.
So those are some of the news. Just a couple of other little events here. Don't forget, it's primary voting season. Right? You can tell that I went out yesterday, got my voting in and stuff. Okay. Did you vote? Good. Okay.
I did. Said right. Mr. Tom.
Excellent. All right. And, you know, the one thing that you to remember this year is in North Carolina now, you need to bring a voter ID. Okay. Although the paper yesterday, the article was there was no big issue about that. You know, a lot of concerns about that stuff. Okay. Good. Jen, we have something sad to talk about, right?
No.
No?
I'm not talking about it.
You're not, Jen's not talking about it? Okay, all right, so Jen,
that means I recognize that.
If you even
okay.
blow
you
still not watch
not
it?
Not the last one.
Okay, all right, so for those of you who don't know what we're talking about here, the last Downton Abbey was on. What? What do you mean I'm getting
I didn't
to do
see
it?
The last one.
We won't talk about it
no,
at all.
You
so
can.
No spoilers right here, but boy, I'll tell you.
There's a good sense.
There were a lot of little teary moments right there, right?
Yeah.
Especially when Edith, you know, so we'll talk, you know. Okay. All right, none of that, all right? All right, and then the last thing for all us good Irishmen out there, what's coming up is...
St. Patty's Day.
Does anybody know, is there any local thing special going on? Like Spoon River? Does Spoon River have anything?
I'm not sure.
Not sure, okay.
Emerald Isle has a big thing going on this
Emerald
week.
Island?
Emerald Isle has a big
yeah, they do.
St. Patrick's Day festival this weekend.
Grub Brothers green coffee?
Something, yeah. Because Grub Brothers has Guinness down there. I mean, they're like the only place in town that has Guinness on draft, so that's my thing. Okay. All right, so here's a little story we'd like to share with you. And, you know, this I started looking at this. I got this as a post on Facebook. Did anybody get the post about Joshua Bell? It came through, maybe a month ago. Did you see it? Okay,
see it.
All right. So, you know, so I said, okay, that's a cool story. I'll bring it in. Well, it turns out there's a story behind the story, okay, that whoever posted it, you know, the originator of it, sort of garbled a story that... Gene Weingartner from the Washington Post came up with. So we're going to try to give you a little more of the real story around this. Okay. All right. So anyway, so in case you don't know, all right, and I didn't know either, Joshua Bell is one of the finest classical violinists in the world. Okay. The cheap seats at his concerts go for around $100. Okay. Interview Magazine once said his playing, and I'm going to quote here, does nothing less than tell human beings why they bother to live. Wow. Okay, and we'll play a little bit of his music in a second right here. Okay, all right. To make a long story short, on a January Friday, okay, Joshua, dressed in jeans, a long sleeve T-shirt, and a Washington National ball cap, played six classical pieces on his Stradivarius violin. Okay, that he bought for $3.5 million. Okay, at the L'Enfant Plaza Metro Station in D.C. Okay.
Really?
Do you know where that is? Yeah. Have you ever been to?
Yes.
You know where it is, Claudia, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's right in the government, heart of the government buildings, and right. Okay. All right. And so the pieces he played, such as Schubert's Ave Maria. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't. If I listen to Ave Maria, I mean, you know, the tears are coming down right now. Okay. Have endured for centuries. Music that belongs in cathedrals and concert halls, not a subway stop. Okay. The Post videotaped the event and interviewed some of the 1,097 people who passed by in this 43 minutes right here. So each passerby had a quick choice to make. Do you stop and listen? Do you hurry past? Do you throw in a buck just to be polite? Okay? You know, we have to think about our own choices right there. Okay? So you know where this story's going, so I'll give you the punchline. Okay? In 3/4 of an hour that Bell played, 7 of the 1,000 people stopped what they were doing to hang around and take in the performance.
7?
7 of the 1,000.
Wow.
Only 7. Okay. All right.
What time of day was this?
It was in the morning, you know, like around, you know, 8 o'clock, something like that in the morning right there, okay? 27 people gave money, most of them on the run, for a total of $32.17.
Wow. Oh, my God.
Okay. Okay. So here's a few highlights behind it right here. Okay, Bell began with Bach's, and I don't know how to say this, Chaconne? I don't know if that's the right pronunciation. Okay. 14 minutes of one of the most difficult violin pieces to master in the world, okay? 3 minutes went by before a middle-aged man even turned his head. He played this for 3 minutes and nobody even looked. Okay. A half minute later, Bell got his first donation. A woman threw in a buck and scooted off. Okay. It was not until 6 minutes into the performance that someone actually stood against a wall and listened. Okay. So here's what they would have been hearing. Let's see if I can get this up right here. Imagine coming up the subway and hearing this.
So he was at the top of the
At the top of the subway, yeah. You know what? Yeah. There's like an arcade there and things. This is what people were hearing. And they rush right by, right?
This
is what
people know about music.
Yeah.
Okay. What they think music is.
All right, so I'll stop this right here, okay? Bell said, okay, as he reflected on this, he said, at a music hall, he says, I'll get upset if someone coughs or if someone's cell phone goes off, okay? But here, my expectations quickly diminished. I started to appreciate any acknowledgement, even a slight glance up, okay? I was oddly grateful when someone threw in a dollar instead of change. Okay. Bell thinks he did his best work of the day in the final few minutes as he repeated the first piece, Chaconne, right there. Okay, and that's what we just heard. And that was also the first time that more than one person at a time was listening. A man named Piccarello recognized the brilliance of the music and had been standing near an arcade for 9 minutes, kind of away from, you know, from where Bell was. Then Janice Olu arrived and took a position a few feet away from Bell. Olu was on a coffee break and stayed as long as she dared. She knew the man playing had a gift. As she turned to go, she whispered to the stranger next to her, I really don't want to leave. The stranger standing next to her happened to be working for the Washington Post. Okay. Exactly one person of the 1,000, remember, recognized Bell, and she didn't arrive until nearly the very end. Stacy Furukawa had been in the audience 3 weeks earlier at Bell's free Library of Congress concert. She had no idea what the heck was going on, but whatever it was, she wasn't going to miss it, okay? Furukawa positioned herself 10 feet away from Bell, front row center, right? I don't know what those seats cost in the real one, right? Okay. She had a huge grin on her face. The grin and Furukawa remained planted in that spot until the end. It was the most astonishing thing I've ever seen in Washington, she said. Joshua Bell was standing there playing at rush hour, and people were not stopping, not even looking, and some were flipping quarters at him. Quarters. I wouldn't do that to anybody, I was thinking. Oh my gosh, what kind of city do I live in that this could happen? Okay. When it was over, Furukawa introduced herself to Bell, and she tossed in a 20. Remember, his total take was $32.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. Weingartner's story, the author, includes these lines from a poem, Leisure, by the Welsh poet W.H. Davis. What is this life if, full of care, we have no time to stand and stare?
Wow.
Isn't that powerful?
It
okay.
is very powerful.
I love, you know, I just love this one. I'm glad you shared it. Okay.
It's a good story.
All right. We're going to have to transition now, Marianne, to the coffee of the day.
Oh, my goodness.
That's a tough transition there, but I know you can handle it.
Well, and we're just going to do one, and it's in kind of memory of the Soul Train, because one of the joggers is named John. He's the mailman, and he always drinks the black and white, which is white chocolate and dark chocolate mixed together with whipped cream on top. So that's the Soul Train special of the
today.
Day.
Okay, the black and white is what
the
it's
black
called.
And
okay,
white.
Cool. Great. Okay. All right. Well, speaking of the Soul Train, I think we're ready for our second interview. Let's see. Jennifer and Dawn, I've got up
go here. For it,
go.
Jen.
Okay.
Last interview, we had the biker gang. Today, we've got a few members of the Soul Train. To Washington's premier running group. Hello, folks. This is Larry Lang, Laurel McKenzie, and Claudia
McCann.
Welcome. So tell us about the Soul Train. Start from the beginning.
Oh. Well, it started, we think, in 2011 or 2012. And we had started meeting at Laurel McKenzie's house. I joined in a little bit after it began, and I was friends with Stephen Wood, my insurance agent, and told him that I was running. He says, oh, you got to come out and join us on Saturday morning. And I really didn't want to do it because I wasn't that good of a runner, and but I decided I'd go ahead. He kept on pressuring me to come, and I came, and I was so glad I did. And I'll let Laurel kind of say who was there in the beginning.
Well, as I recall, when Larry started coming and Stephen started, we'd meet at my house. I'd been running. I'd done my first half. We met at my house, and we'd run up to the end of Stewart Parkway and back, and that was
how
about
far?
A five-mile route.
5 miles? Okay. Mm-hmm.
And then for some reason, we decided to start meeting in town here, and as my recollection is right here at the caboose, and we would do a different route, and we added miles, and we added people. And somewhere in there, we decided to name our group because we thought, well, we're a pretty big group. We meet regularly. So, you know, we batted around a few names, and Soul Train's what stuck. So that's what we are, and we've just grown and grown since then.
How many now? How many people?
Well, it varies from there may be as little as 3 to as many as 10 or 12.
And generally shooting for 5 miles or more?
In our off season, it's usually 5, but if we're training for a certain run, you know, we'll go on up to 12 and 13 miles. And, of course, some of us in the group here, Claudia, has done a marathon just recently. So
good for you. You did a full marathon?
Mm-hmm.
That's how long did it take you? That's crazy.
It took me a long time.
I get tired driving.
Almost 5 hours.
Wow, really? Very impressive.
Very slow.
Yeah, right?
We're going to have a driving club for you.
Nancy, that was your goal, wasn't it, when you did the Marine Corps marathon? You want to do it under 5 hours?
3 hours.
Oh, 3 hours. Oh.
Wow.
You did it under 3?
I don't remember. It was too long ago.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
But she still has the T-shirt.
I would still have a T-shirt if I did that, too. That's very impressive, man. So it doesn't matter the weather, hot, cold, rain, snow, sleet.
It doesn't matter. I mean, we've run in the rain. We've run in the ice. We've run. It's Saturday. I mean, it's so important to us to get together on Saturday that we show up. And and so it's become more than running for us, really. I mean, we feel. I mean, I feel a void when I don't come. Do you guys feel that? So it's the friendships that have been developed. That's
nice.
Really important.
So yeah. You do it every Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
What time?
7:00.
It is a highlight of my week.
Do you
really?
Welcome others, newcomers?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, when we got a newcomer, Jennifer, came in a couple weeks ago and has started joining us, and she started running during the week and encouraging the runners to come in and, on Tuesdays and Thursdays. So.
No, she's not a new runner. She's just new to the group.
New to the group,
okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
Well, how far, what's the longest you've ever run?
As a group?
Yeah.
As a
group. I guess training for a half
probably
12, 13 miles.
And you've traveled together,
not
too.
Not me.
Where have you traveled to?
Oh, we had a great travel just a year ago to Morehead City to one of the worst-run half marathons in history.
The worst run?
Oh, great.
Now, wait a minute. You mean worst organized or were the runners pretty crappy?
Both.
Okay.
No, actually, the organization wasn't good, but we had a great time. There were how many of us were running that, I think about 8 or 9 of us. And we all had the same shirts on. Said Soul Train Runners and says Washington Caboose on the back.
Oh, cool. That was that.
And for our listeners, Soul is spelled S-O-L-E.
Okay. Oh, yeah, good point. Yeah.
Anything odd has happened to you while you run? Any stories?
Because the guys, the bikers were talking about, what was it, a dog?
The deers,
chased,
yeah.
A dog chased you guys, Dave? Or something?
Oh, we put, did you have a chase? We've had car problems.
People throwing stuff at you, calling your name as well. And I said it. I am so sorry. I didn't know it was you.
So were you that bus driver gone that tried to run Sam over?
Just one little incident. So what about you guys? You got to have dog issues or
actually,
people issues.
We don't have dog issues. I will say something funny that happened recently was when early in Trump's campaign, Larry Hoover wore a Trump T-shirt.
He did.
And some of the group was trying to outrun him so people wouldn't think that they were together.
Okay, right. So it does get political every once in a while.
It might be the first time that Larry led the race, but anyway. something that's kind of interesting that's happened a couple of times is that we were running down the road. And then all of a sudden, Laurel, like, jets out in front of everybody. And like, what's going on? She says, there's a 20! And
there's a 20?
So she jumped in front of everybody and got that $20 bill that was coming up there. And she pushed down a couple of people.
Washington Park, you never know what you'll find there. That's where the cash was. And not only that, but John Hartman, who also runs with us, found money, and he fell down getting the money. So he dropped and rolled.
So all right, so I know what I'm doing Saturday morning. I'm going to be putting dollar bills around.
We were joking about planning Easter eggs. Yeah, right.
It's not the dogs and cats, it's the money.
They did better than the violin players.
So I think that's it, but a little bit more about your trip. You went to Fort Lauderdale?
Oh, me? Yes.
Yeah, tell us about that. How long you trained for?
3 months.
So when you trained, you actually run a full marathon?
No, you just build up your miles. And I must say that Jennifer here at the Caboose was my big supporter because I would come down here. See, running a marathon was my bucket list for retirement because it does take a lot of hours of training. So I came down and would run from here, you know, 5, 6, 7, so on, 15. And every time I do the 5-mile route, and Jennifer would come out and cheer me on as I'd go running by.
Tell me about the last run, how we met that man, the last time you ran around, the guy that put on...
I was doing 19 miles that day, and I was coming in on 15.
19, y'all hear, 19 miles, 19.
And Jennifer was outside with two men, and they were clapping as I came around the corner, which was more clapping than I got at the actual marathon. And I was coming around, and this one guy was down here from...
Was he from Wisconsin, someplace far away?
Yeah, someplace far away, and his wife is doing an internship at the hospital for a physician's assistant, and he was here visiting her. And he, like, went to his car and put on his running shoes and ran the last 4 miles with me.
Oh, how nice.
It was really fun. Wow. It was really fun. Yeah. It was really nice. It's always nice to have somebody with you. And I will say, when I was on, like, mile 23 and 24, the whole Soul Train was with me. And I'm like, you know, in spirit, I'm like,
nice.
Oh, they're here. They're behind me. They're with me. They're ahead of me.
There goes Laurel for that 20. I got to catch her. Wow, that's a big accomplishment. So it's off your bucket list.
It's off my bucket
list. So what now?
What's next?
What's on your bucket list?
Knitting camp in Wisconsin, but that's another story.
How to be trained for a knitting camp.
There, so close. Running and knitting.
Cool.
Yeah. Actually, there is the story. We saw this story on Facebook. There's a man who runs marathon, and he knits while he runs.
No way.
Oh, Lord.
Sounds dangerous, doesn't it?
I wonder how many stitches he drops.
Yeah. Well, he's actually
how many stitches that he needs, right?
Right. He uses what's called that hand knitting, right? Big yarn, and
okay.
he knits a whole scarf, and he, like, throws it over his shoulder as he's...
Crazy. I want to say, too, you know, I enjoy the camaraderie we have and, of course, the exercise we get and the feeling of accomplishment that you run 5+ miles by 8 o'clock or so that morning. And I love to sleep. And for me to give up sleep on a Saturday, you know, is a testament to how fun and how rewarding it is. But when we're running, we see the sunrise on the water. We see the trestle. We see just beautiful. And like the cyclists say, there's just no place more beautiful than our area. And we really get to enjoy that in the peace of the morning.
Nice. Very nice. So it's a lot to send again for the coffee caboose, right?
Yeah, and everybody lands here, right?
Yeah,
the cyclists are here, the runners are here, right?
Yeah.
I think most people in the group would say, you know, the running is really secondary. It's our camaraderie here at the caboose afterwards. Poor Mary Ann.
Oh, it's been.
Yeah, yeah, she gets slammed, right?
We're piling in. We're all very smelly. It's summer,
we,
you know.
We will probably hang out at the caboose longer than we run.
It's been just a great joy to get to know each and every one of y'all. That's one of the big highlights of the caboose, is your
nice. And to see your smiling face when we come in the door.
Well, it's how'd joyful. It's just joyful. I mean, I get excited about seeing y'all, too.
How long does it take for 5 miles?
It takes us
are you
about
going to go? No, you're going to be there at 7 o'clock.
I will know. I like it. I like the idea in my brain, but I can't see.
It's
can
really
walk
fun. We have a 5-mile route that most of the people do.
You can cut it to 3.
You can cut it to 3. You can cut it to 4 because the way we run, it's a loop, so you can just cut back over here. A lot of people do that. But usually 5 miles we do in about 50 minutes, about 10-minute miles.
You know, we're not fast runners. There are some of the group that can and do run faster, but you also have ones that are slower. So sometimes we're striated out, you know.
I do a fast walk.
Mm-hmm. Don, do you remember the morning you got up to go look at the geese and the swans?
I know, honey. I was still up from the night before.
I was just going to remind you how hard that is.
if I stay up.
But Barbara, that was like 6 a.m. in the morning.
No, it was
now, we left at 4 a.m. in the morning.
Yeah,
we had to leave really early to get to Jennifer.
That was delightful.
Laura, you have a connection to Flying Wheel at Washington Havens Gardens.
Oh,
tell us
no, we were
going to
talk about that. Well, the flywheel operated a steam-generated planer and a sawmill, and it was in the sawmill in Columbia, North Carolina, which is where I was born. My mother was running that sawmill at the time. It belonged to my grandfather.
Your mother was?
Robin Mason.
Oh, okay.
And she was a brilliant woman. And so when he closed that down, he moved he moved things to the junkyard here at Mason Lumber. He had a great junkyard because he fixed everything that broke. He didn't buy it new. He repaired what he had. So I don't know how long it stayed in there at his sawmill, but at any rate, in the early 70s, from what I understand, he donated it to the city, erected it there at Havens Gardens, and that's where it's been.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I was wondering, I don't even know what it was.
Yeah.
I didn't know what it was. That's humongous.
You know, a belt went around it.
Wow.
It was a smaller wheel, and it turned.
Wow.
Cool. I like the new location.
I mean, do.
When I go
too.
Over the bridge and I see
you
it.
See it.
Yeah. There's, I don't know, something about that says Washington to me. Now,
is this
so,
cool?
Yeah, I think, you know, because there were so many lumber mills and sawmills here in Washington, I think it's a good.
So did you ever see it operating, the actual wheel?
I did not. I was born around the time it was operating. My brother, who's 4 years older than me, says he remembers seeing it operate.
Okay. Thank you, Laurel. All right. All right, so that's a great transition into our history moment today,
yeah,
guys.
It
okay,
is.
I mean, talk about connections, man. We got all kinds of stuff. So, you know, for the history moment today, I started looking into lumber, you know, because this area has a huge history, you know, and the economy was relied on lumber, things like that. But that's way too big. Okay, so I said, well, let me see if I can find some string to pull on lumber, and the name Moss came up. Okay. So the Moss name is famously associated with Beaufort County lumber, okay? And, of course, we have a development right across the street here, Moss Landing, right? Beverly Turpin Moss, okay, came here from Surrey County, Virginia. So there's a connection to Virginia. And set up the Pamlico Lumber Company with a guy named Calvin Kennard from Philadelphia. You know, that's the thing that's interesting to me is there seems like a lot of Philadelphia connections in between Philadelphia and Washington. There's a lot of connections right there. And a guy named A.L. Shepherd from Richmond in 1886, okay? Now, that obviously not the first mill. There had been a lot before that, okay? Their mill was located at Blunt's Creek and was the first incorporated business in North Carolina. So we got another first right there, right? Most lumber was shipped to and sold in Philadelphia. Although the business thrived, in 1891, Mr. Moss was killed in a sailboat accident on a trip to Ocracoke, okay? It was an accidental jibe. The boom came over. He was knocked over, and that was the end of Mr. Moss right there. Yeah. Okay, and I found that he's buried in Oakdale Cemetery. I'm going to have to go up there sometime, okay? And his daughter's there, too, Ellie Moss Rumley, okay? And her spouse was named Henry Blunt Rumley. And that's another famous name in the town here, right? Okay. So in 1906, his sons Frank and Beverly started the Moss Lumber Company. Their mill was near Durham Creek, okay, across the river. In 1907, Beverly Moss, Henry Blount, another famous name, and W.T. Condon founded the Moss Planing Mill Company located right outside the caboose, okay? Now, the name Condon is interesting to me, too. I didn't pull the string, but there used to be, in White Plains, New York, there was a Condon Lumber Company. And when I built my first sailboat back in college days, I went up there to get the mast, Sitka Spruce, okay? I wonder if there's a relationship there somewhere, okay? All right. I managed to find some bits and pieces about the Moss Planing Mill. During the Depression in the 30s, they were one of the few businesses that kept folks employed here, right? You know, so that was a tough time for folks and things. Apparently, the mill burned in 1935, but was quickly reconstructed. The mill had its own pier, which let it ship large quantities of lumber by water. Other mills used, you know, railroads. Like we talked about the Jolton, what was it, the Jolton Wiggle? You know, that was built to bring lumber and, you know, back and forth and stuff.
You're saying right outside the caboose over here?
Yeah, so Marion, it was this property where the Moss...
The big mill was actually down there. In the middle where they're building the new Moss Land, and that's where I still remember all the sawdust.
So it would be going
through
here via boat.
Yeah, yeah, there'd be a pier.
But isn't it so shallow at some points, John? You've been down through there, right? Where you've got to be so careful to get out.
Yeah, so the channel, though, I mean, you could get a barge through the channel.
Okay. We get stuck in the channel.
Do you really?
No, we get stuck getting to the channel.
Okay, all right.
It's Steve and I, so I guess.
Ships used to come up to the port.
Yeah, there were a lot of big ships came in here. I mean, sailing ships from the West Indies came all the way up to Washington right here.
I didn't mean to take you away, but that's very interesting.
Sure. Okay. During World War II, both Italian and German prisoners of war worked at the mill. Okay. In 1943, Italian prisoners that were captured in North African Sicily, okay, I just watched Patton the other night, so that was another, you know, thing. They lived in a camp in Williamston, but worked here. Right? The men, although speaking no English, were of, quote, a happy and genial disposition. Okay. I don't know whether they had some wine or who knows, but whatever. Okay. All right. In 1944, the Italians were replaced with German prisoners. Okay, Harold Lane, manager at the Moss Planing Mill, had high regard for the German prisoners. He said the Germans were, quote, the best working people you have ever seen. Okay, these are German prisoners right here. Okay, things were kind of loose. There were no armed guards, and the prisoners could even swim during their lunch break. Okay, out in a river out here. Okay. In June 1944, though, Rudolf Wallach, okay, he was 27 years old, he tried to escape by swimming from the mill, okay? Whiting Toller remembers his mom telling the story of how the police raced down Water Street, okay? Moms took their kids off the street, okay? Can you just imagine the panic? This is the suit right there, okay? And the moms did lookout duty from their second-floor windows. They were looking for this guy swimming down the street, little head bobbing in the river right there, okay? Wallach was captured near the buoy yard at Bridge in Maine, you know, where the buoy landing is right there. Okay. He told police, "I was just taking a swim." All right. Now, this last piece here around Moss Planing, you know, I knew, like, my dad was a union guy, okay, and I knew, you know, coming down here, you know, in North Carolina, there's a lot of resistance from companies to, you know, about unions and things like that. This is the first time I've ever seen, like, a specific case of it right here. So in 1953, the year I was born, the National Labor Relations Board found the Moss Planing Company, okay, guilty of violating, of discriminatorily discharging two employees, Roy Fulcher and Lee Wynn. Okay, the two were active in union organizing. Fulcher was the union steward, and Wynn was a fireman as part of the union, okay? And the company responded by cutting their hours, all right? And Thompson Litchfield, who was the secretary-treasurer, had threatened, actually, Fulcher with a gun, okay? You know, the story goes, there's a PDF you can go look at. He had the gun in his drawer, and he pulled it out, and he was kind of, you know, things, you know, back and forth and stuff, okay? Wynn reported through the union that he'd been underpaid $700. He was supposed to get paid, you know, some money, okay, and things. And when Litchfield found out, he tried to give him $100 as a bribe, you know, just to cut the losses right there. Sounds like Donald Trump's negotiating skills right there. Wynn refused. Litchfield confronted him again while this guy was working, okay, again with a gun, okay. And while Wynn was turned around doing some work, he was closing a valve. This guy Litchfield kicked him in the groin. Okay, so you got to know. I mean, this guy Wynn was like this. He was a black man. He was pretty short. You know, 5'4". You know, he'd lost a leg in an accident. Okay, and now he gets kicked. Okay, and things. All right, Litchfield was 5'8", 165 pounds, and a former athlete. Okay,
not fair.
Okay, but anyway. All right, there's a PDF you can download. It shows John Wilkinson. John A. Wilkinson was one of the lawyers in the NLRB, you know, meeting right there. Does anybody know John Wilkerson?
Oh, yeah. We all know him through reputation.
Through reputation, oh, right. Yeah. Okay. All right. And then, Mary Ann, you had some thoughts about, you know, did you know Litchfield, Thompson Litchfield, or your dad?
I did. He was friends with my dad. That's World War II. And after my dad had a stroke, I'll never forget that he came over with a fifth of wild turkey to bring to him. Dad wasn't supposed to drink, but he sure got that top off and hoisted him down and drank. And then the other thing that I just never kind of understood, he actually gave all that land to the city.
Uh-huh.
And it just doesn't seem to ever get any real appreciation for it. Not even a plaque, you know, land given by.
By.
I actually asked Tom and Bill about that one time, and they had no answer.
To is that their father? Is that their father? Okay.
Okay, well.
Right. And he was evidently in a POW. In World War II.
In World War II, yeah. Do you know what theater
and
it was?
He was definitely very tough. I can see him
doing
all these
things. Doing
places.
Was it? Was it? Do you know what theater? Was it European or Pacific? That he was a
I would say Germany.
Germany? Okay.
European,
okay.
If he was with
your father. Okay. Well, all right. So today, about all that's left of the Moss Planing Mill is a brick monument down by the estuarium. Okay, some of you walk on the boardwalk, you see it down there, right? Okay. You can see it from the boardwalk. And there still is a Moss Planing Mill company. It's a small organization in farm product raw materials industry located off River Road. Okay, it opened its doors in 2010, listed as having 2 employees. Okay, if you go on Yelp for that. So, right?
Question, so what is that? It's now for sale across, right on, before you come into town on... On the one way coming in Maine?
Yeah.
That was a mill or something, right? What was that?
That was a grain.
Oh, that was grain. Mm. Oh, okay.
Stored grain to ship out.
Cool. Okay, yeah.
Grain,
so that's
a very big building compared to mill.
We'll talk
blocks.
Later, Mary Ann. We'll talk about that later.
Right.
Okay. you and me.
Okay. All right, Jennifer. So that's our history moment. We're going to go to our nature moment.
This is just a heads up. This is regarding Matamuskeet Lake. The Fish and Wildlife Service staff are being battered by North Carolina legislatures right now, and they need some offsetting and help for some claims by the Hyde County residents who say their land's being flooded by Matamuskeet Lake. This is a serious concern that the State General Assembly could attempt to force water management changes at the lake refuge, which could seriously impact health and ongoing wetland restoration efforts. One of the reasons for the lake levels is to provide food for the waterfowl in the winter months. I've also learned of the biggest voices in Hyde County are landowners about 3 miles away from the refuge, so there really isn't real regard for the lake itself, and it is no way impacted by water levels. Any outreach you can do would be helpful. This is what Heather Deck of the Sound River has posted on their webpage, Facebook. Okay, bring some other very important facts to this issue that are missing from this story. Fish and Wildlife Service has restored thousands of acres of Pocosin wetlands, what was there historically before much of it was drained, partially to offset the added ammonia and nitrogen pollution from Rose Acre Farms. This area is extremely important for water and air quality, not to mention habitat. Secondly, this is one, if not the wettest El Nino year on record, and this area is at sea level anyway, which is an ongoing problem. Third, the organic soils that are drained from the many, many years oxidize are fat at a faster rate, thus resulting in lower landscape levels than the surrounding areas that may not drain in their soils. Fourth, anyone can remember the peat fires in Hyde County during the drought. That's one reason why they're restoring the hydrology over there. And lastly, those of the many miles from the refuge cannot blame the refuge for the water issues. There isn't any connection. So the great concern is that they want to drain, keep the water levels higher at the refuge. Waterfowl won't be able to eat and use it as a refuge for themselves. So
what is it they're asking? What could we do?
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
What I would do is tell the legislature to let the Fish and Wildlife manage it. They're right now getting the North Carolina Resource Commission involved and trying to get them to take over. There are some people that want to use the lake for fishing rather than for the waterfowl so they can run their own private fishing, you know.
Oh, yeah. Which so would really take away.
It would take away.
Yeah, for sure. Okay.
And I was doing some research on Matamuskeet. It was first discovered by the English in 1585. And they, at one point in the early 1900s, they really tried to drain the lake dry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was 120,000 acres. Now it's down to 55,000
acres. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, that's an interesting. Wow. I mean, they don't know what formed Battle Mesquite, right?
Yeah, there's,
I mean,
two. The Indians say there was a fire. That was their legend, okay, which makes sense because it's below sea level and the peat will burn and sink. And the other one is a meteor.
Meteor, yeah, but it seems like it's too shallow and there's no crater ejecta.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
No. Okay. I think that we should go next Saturday and let Don lead the group out there. We'll leave at 4 o'clock Saturday
morning. We can
leave at
4 o'clock. If I'm drinking, I'll still be up there. <You'll> be That's not a problem. I just can't drive.
I'll do the driving.
You drive. Okay.
Okay, great. All right. All right, thank you, Jennifer. Okay, so we're about ready to wrap up here. We're just going to do one more song from Naming the Twins, all right? And I'll tell you about this song, okay? This is, there's a poem. Some of you probably know the name John Masefield. Is that name familiar as a poet?
Yeah.
Okay, so he's, you know, he was an English poet, okay, and did a lot of writing. And there's a poem, it's called Sea Fever, all right? And you might recognize the line from it. Almost all the sailors know it. All I ask is a tall ship and a star to steer her right. Okay.
Aww.
And that's, you know, that's just a little, you know, that's the goal of the sailor right there. Okay. So without further ado, we're going to present the Naming the Twins Sea Fever, and you'll hear that lyric in there. I got the tear. This is one that got me teary right here. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're so,
I am, yeah, absolutely.
I must go down to the seas again, to the lonely sea at the sky. And all I ask is a tall ship and a star to steer her by. And the wheels kick and the winds sough and the white sails shake, and a gray mist on the sea's face, and a gray dawn. Must go down to the seas again for the call of the running tide. It's a wild call and a clear call that may not be denied. And all I ask is a windy day with the white cloud. Fly. And the flung spray and the blown spear and the seagulls cry.
sorry. I'm sorry.
It is okay, bye.
Let me say one thing. Yeah, we'll just do one thing.
Did he not motion me?
Okay. Sorry about that. Okay. All right. Yes. Right.
Whoops. Right.
So what a beautiful song. So let me thank.
Well, you have come. You've got to come to come.
Yeah, right, now, let me thank Naming the Twins, Kathy and Rob, for, you know, letting us use their songs right there. They're more than generous. All right. Before I let Marianne sign us out today, I just want to remember, today my mom would have been 91 years old.
Aww. Okay. Aww.
And you guys would have loved her. I know every one of you would have loved her right there. But, you know, 91 years old, March 8th. So, Marianne, take us out.
Okay, and thank you, Larry. Thank you, Laurel. Thank you, Claudia. It was wonderful having y'all.
Glad to be here.
And that's it for today. We hope you enjoyed the Coffee Caboose Radio Hour. Give us some feedback. Some feedback on Facebook.
I did two questions.
What?
I think they could ask you questions for next month.
Okay, that's a good idea. Okay, so now let's close with the North Carolina State Toast. Everybody with their little
handouts. Okay.
Okay.
Here's to the land of the longleaf pine, the summer land where the sun doth shine, where the weak grow strong and the strong grow great. Here's to down home, the old North State.
Yay!
Okay, thanks everybody. And we'll see you next month.
Well, thank y'all so much. That was a